All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me see who is in the Rumble chat before we get started. Let me see here. Oh, that's a new one. Chemical Toilet is on. Jacksonville, awesome. My family lives in Jacksonville. Sparky 8142 is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Judy Anita is on. General Plowman is on. Bud Dave is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Aggravain is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Skunk 71 is on. DK Jackson is on. Sexy Pony is on. Kansas Law Dog is on. Granite 2468 is on. JD Joy is on. Confederate 1 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Phil McCracken is on. D9597 is on. Mike Griffin is on. Let's see here. K4 VMS is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Sparky 8142 is on. 11 Carl 11 is on. Scrolling down here. Let me see here. Missing name. My Broken Heart is on. One Fast Rob is on. Wisconsin Honey Badger is on. Let me see here. Day Now 59 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. JBC 2020 is on. Milwaukee James is on. Producer Aaron is on. Let me get one more here. Mobetta 01 is on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. All right, let's hop right into this thing here. From the Gateway Pundit, leaked FBI document reveals Jeffrey Epstein was a secret. Oh, not just CIA, not just MI6, not just Mossad. It appears now that he was a secret FBI informant. That's very strange, isn't it? So let's hop into this using the article from Jim Hoff from the Gateway Pundit. And again, this is wonkery for those that just, you know, there's some people that want like constant videos and things like that. I love the videos, but sometimes you just got to get down into the depths to see what's really happening here. All of this brand new information. 2018, the Gateway Pundit reported that Jeffrey Epstein was not just protected by federal authorities, but may have actively worked as an informant for the FBI under former director Robert Mueller. Isn't it funny how everybody knows each other? Everybody has a singular narrative. Take down Donald J. Trump or any interloper from the outside of D.C. swamp. And you use all the inside swampers, Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Mueller, and all the rest of them to keep everybody out. Oftentimes they keep them out by federally indicting them and putting them into prison like Navarro, like Bannon. According to the uncovered documents released under a successful Freedom of Information Act FOIA lawsuit, on 9/11/08, case agent advised a writer that Epstein is currently being prosecuted by the state of Florida and is complying with all conditions. This is from the case back in 2008. With all conditions of his plea agreement with the state of Florida. Epstein has also provided information to the FBI as agreed upon. Remember, this is U.S. Attorney Acosta, who is going to be the future labor secretary in the Trump administration until it was found out about his involvement in the Epstein prosecution. Really, he was told to back down. He never should have because he should have been a man with a spine, i.e. never wear a mask, never take a vax, never close your business. You have to be a man with a spine, even if it costs you your job. But he wasn't. So Acosta ends up being kicked out because of his collaboration with federal authorities to not prosecute Jeffrey Epstein. Right there, 9/11/08 would have been still under Bush, I believe. Bush. Yeah. Just the tail end of Bush.
Yep.
Epstein also provided information to the FBI as agreed upon. Never hear the case agent advised that Epstein is currently being prosecuted in the state of Florida by Acosta and is complying with all the conditions of his plea agreement with the state of Florida. But Epstein also provided information to the FBI as agreed upon. Case agent advised, this is off the official documentation. This is how police reports are written. Case agent, suspect one, suspect two, all those things. Case agent advised that no federal prosecution will occur in this matter as long as Epstein continues to uphold his agreement with the state of Florida. Remember, Acosta was told back out of this thing because he is intelligence. Case agent also advised that no further forfeiture assistance will be required for this case. Case agent is requested to contact Ryder in the event this matter. And just so everybody knows, what this is talking about, whenever you're writing a police report, it's always writer. Like if I'm writing an affidavit or if I'm writing a police report, I would refer to myself as writer. On this date and time, writer saw the following incident occur, whatever it may be. So this person is writing in first person and referring to case agent in third. Case agent is requested to contact writer in the event this matter moves forward on a federal level. No, it wasn't going to happen. One source familiar with the investigation said the reason the FBI has been stonewalling for years is because these files blow up the official story. Epstein wasn't just in evading justice. He was helping them. It can be recalled that Alex Acosta, who served as a U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida from June 2005 to June 2009, under President George W. Bush, previously claimed he was told to back off. That's why there was no federal investigation. It was just a state investigation run under who? Pamela Bondi.
Oh.
That's all a coincidence. But that's just all a coincidence. Yeah. I mean, it's all a coincidence. Nothing to see here.
Of course.
Okay, yeah. Just want everyone to know that. So Acosta was told previously, he previously claimed he was told to back off Epstein because Epstein belonged to intelligence. During transition interviews, Trump's former labor secretary, Alex Acosta, revealed that he was informed Jeffrey Epstein belonged to intelligence, that the case was above his pay grade, and that he was instructed to leave it alone. So he was never federally indicted. Isn't that strange? In a July 2020 C-SPAN clip, Acosta clarified he never directly confirmed Epstein was an intelligence agent. Nobody asked you to confirm it. You wouldn't be, all you had was, you had the FBI going to Alex Acosta saying, leave him alone, he is a federal agent. I mean, or he's a federal source. He is a confidential informant, whatever he was, an asset. They play the Potomac two-step. You ask Acosta, did you say that? No, I never said that. He was never confirmed as an intelligent asset. I didn't ask you that. I asked you, did you ever say that someone told you to back off because he belonged to intelligence? Oh, no, he was never confirmed as an intel asset. That's not what we ask. And we have a lot of subpoenas coming our way, and you're going to see a lot of this on Capitol Hill over the coming weeks and months. Go to the next one for me. Nick Sorter tweets, so here is basically the outcome of all this information that's now coming out. So a lot of this stuff is new. It was reported by the Gateway Pundit before, but everybody just dismissed it. Now it's coming out on the official Tulsi Gabbard released documentation. Breaking the House Oversight Committee has officially subpoenaed the DOJ for the Epstein files. That's what they should do. Because who's running the DOJ? Pam Bondi, who was very weird about this whole Epstein release. And then Trump became very weird about the Epstein release. And again, I don't think it has anything to do with Donald Trump's appearance in the Epstein files. He is in the Epstein files because they were basically socialites together for a brief period of time until Donald Trump kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago for inappropriate sexual behavior toward minors. So we can see where Donald Trump's motives are. But who is on those Epstein files? And again, let me broach this subject because I didn't get to it last night. And just leave it right where we're at because this all ties together. But everybody saw the directive coming from about dealing with $1.9 billion going to states for not, it's not for disaster relief. It's for disaster relief preparation. In other words, to prepare for basically to stock up your supplies for disaster relief. And Donald Trump in his executive order or in some sort of declaration put out that if you have any sort of boycott of any Israeli business or the Israeli government, you will not get your $1.9 billion. That's an absolute fact. All over news, all over Reuters. Blew up Twitter yesterday. I never got to it because one of the reasons why I didn't get to it, probably would have launched the show with it, is because Donald Trump immediately rescinded. Now, I say this for all those that get fed up with the same story over and over again or whatever it may be. And I, by the way, I'm the same way to a degree. I don't want this. We don't do the same story over again, but there's same subject matter over and over again with different tributaries in the river. But anyway, the reason why you have to report on these things, you know, right now, just so everybody knows about our numbers here, when you see our numbers at 3,500 or whatever, we're not 3,500 people watching. We buy the views. I told somebody this with the church too. So if Aaron bought basically 2,500 views, there's about 1,000 people watching. The reason why we buy the views is not to fool people. It's to up us on the Rumble algorithm because Rumble did some kind of funky change to how they do things and bumped us off of the first page so nobody ever sees us. And our numbers went down a couple hundred people. So we buy the views. It's not very expensive. You buy the views. It's an algorithmic manipulation. We're not trying to fool anybody. 3,500 people watching is what the views say. But we actually have somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 people watching. The reason why I bring that up is, first of all, just for clarity. But second of all, I'm never going to lie to you. The second reason why is there's 1,000 people watching this podcast. It's not a very big podcast. Right now, if you go on to Alex Jones Rewind, on Twitter alone, there's 290,000 people watching. So, but on any level, on any podcast, whether it's 50 or 50,000 people watching, you put out this information. That executive order from Donald Trump limiting people, not just limiting, taking away disaster relief preparation money, $1.9 billion per state, that Donald Trump tying that to making sure that you support Israel, making sure that you do not boycott Israeli institutions or Israeli businesses, was immediately rescinded by Donald Trump upon all the pressure on primarily Alex Jones' show, because he has the most viewers by far. But whether it was all of the Twitter posts, whether it was somebody with, 500,000 followers or somebody with 5,000 followers, someone like me with 6,000 followers, whatever it may be, everybody put it out. And immediately it was taken down. Why would Donald Trump do this? Now, here's my point tying this back to Epstein. The reason why Trump is so funky about Epstein is because it's going to reveal things about Mossad and probably other Republicans and maybe even Democrats that are still in the favor of Donald Trump, if there are any. So he doesn't want that revealed. And you have all that AIPAC money, $200 million, given to Donald Trump that is meant to basically install the will of Israel in the Trump administration. It's not, anti-Semitic. How am I anti-Semitic when I'm not saying it has anything to do with somebody's religion or their heritage? The nation of Israel wants to control America. I mean, so does everybody. They're just more successful at it than anybody else. So that's a reason why Donald Trump has been so funky. One of the reasons why he's been so, there's again, many tributaries, many contributing factors to the reason why he's so funky about this Epstein stuff. First of all, it's been rewritten by James Comey, by Clapper, by Brennan, by Hillary, by the Biden administration, by the Obama administration, all manipulated this file and put all the lies that have already been debunked back into the file. And Donald Trump's like, I'm sick of hearing that Melania was a prostitute and that that worked for Jeffrey Epstein, was introduced to Trump by Jeffrey Epstein. He's tired of seeing that. There's three women that Donald Trump allegedly, that people said that Epstein supplied him with, women, not girls, that he slept with, all have been proven to not even exist. So Donald Trump's sick of all that. That's one contributing factor. The other contributing factor is that Donald Trump does not want to get on the wrong side of Israel for some reason. Maybe it's AIPAC money, whatever it may be. He doesn't want to get on the wrong side of Israel. I don't understand why, when Israel has no power over us, except for the power of manipulation, and they use that through their foreign lobbying agency that's not been registered with FARA, called AIPAC, because allegedly AIPAC's an American institution, which it's not. But anyway, so there's just a lot to this. Now, so the reason why you end up with the Oversight Committee having to subpoena the DOJ files, they should have been walked over by Bondi. And Bondi has the strange tie to the original Jeffrey Epstein non-prosecution, where he got to spend his sentence was in a day jail, where he spent 12 hours a day out of the jail and the weekends out of the jail. So, I mean, soliciting underage prostitution, which is a felony. Very strange prosecution. He was allowed to transfer all of his assets to what country? What country did he transfer all of his assets to? Israel. He was allowed to flee to Israel pre-sentencing, post-conviction. That never happens, folks. You get an ankle bracelet on, and you aren't allowed to leave the country. When you are allowed, you're released on your own recognizance with an ankle bracelet to your multi-million-dollar mansion. You are never allowed to leave. You're not even allowed to leave the jurisdiction, let alone the country. Jeffrey Epstein was just allowed to leave the country, to fly over to Israel and basically say, I'm not going to come back unless the sentence is what I want it to be. And Israel is world renowned for sheltering pedophiles. I hate to say it. People don't want to believe it. Oh, anti-Semite again. How's that? What does that have to do with the Jewish religion? That's what anti-Semite means. I'm just curious. What does that? It doesn't. They do. They're world renowned for it. People who are pedophiles who are Jewish flee to. Doesn't mean that the primary group of pedophiles are Jewish people. Doesn't mean that. I didn't say that, did I? So I'm saying that they are known. There's at least 40 of them sitting right now that we cannot extradite. They will not extradite pedophiles out of Israel to the United States. So Jeffrey Epstein flew to Israel. He's allowed to fly there. All of this under the nose of Robert Mueller. And Robert Mueller basically telling Alex Costa, make sure that you do not prosecute Jeffrey Epstein federally because he's an intel asset. What have we been through? One slide so far?
This is number two.
Yeah, we're on number two.
Yeah,
two.
We're on number
two. So I've gotten two up. Yeah. All right, so anyway, so this, yeah, it's all tied together. So finally, the Oversight Committee has to subpoena these records from the DOJ. The DOJ should walk them over. So they do, including Biden's regime's communications regarding the Epstein case. That's a big deal. Go to the next one for me. Lady Vet tweet. The House Oversight Committee has issued subpoenas for several high-profile political figures to testify before Congress regarding the Jeffrey Epstein investigation and the newly uncovered Epstein files. These individuals are being called to provide answers about their potential knowledge or involvement. Who is scheduled to testify? We got dates right here. Dates and times, but no times, but dates. Here we have dates. I mean, this is unbelievable. Hillary Clinton, October 9th. Billy! Oh, Billy, 28 times on the island, Billy. Bill, 28 times on the island, Clinton. Merrick Garland, October 2nd. Jimmy Comey, October 7th. Oh, we're going to hear a lot of plead the fifths coming up. I plead the fifth. Oh, Aaron, see if you can find it.
Okay.
See if you can find it. See, oh, man, you got a couple minutes. I got to play it. William Barr, August 18th. Alberto Gonzalez, August 26th, Jeffrey Sessions, August 28th, Robert Mueller. I don't know if he's coherent enough to do, I mean, after his collusion testimony, woof, that was bad. September 2nd, Loretta Lynch, September 9th, Eric Holder, September 16th. By the way, these are all subpoenas. And now you know everybody knows the precedent. The precedent has now been set because notice that the House Oversight Committee, what is the House Oversight Committee? Can anybody tell me? It begins with an S. What kind of committee is it? That would be a select committee. So they are allowed to issue subpoenas. And those subpoenas have to be obeyed. If they are not, it is a criminal violation of obstruction of Congress, which was what happened with the J6 committee to Navarro and Bannon. Only problem was that the J6 committee was a J6 select committee, but the Republicans were not allowed to select Jim Jordan or Jim Banks. And those Jim Banks and Jim Jordan were replaced with, Josh, I just blanked on her name. Oh my gosh, what's the matter with me? Come on. People tell me, Adam Kinzinger and
Liz Cheney.
Gosh, yeah. I just blanked on her name. But anyway, so Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney. So that's, we wanted Jim Jordan and Jim Banks, and Nancy Pelosi wouldn't allow it. Therefore, making it a non-select committee. Once it's a non-select committee, they have no power to issue subpoenas. I mean, everybody get this. This is what Aaron says. I could rattle on and on for an hour on. I can't stand judicial unfairness. So instead of getting, imagine you want Jim Jordan and Jim Banks, two of the most ardent right-wingers in the Congress. Again, you can talk about the minuses of each guy, but I don't know any minuses about Banks. But on Jordan or whatever else, and they voted wrong, but it doesn't matter. They were certainly major Trump defenders. And at the time, Kevin McCarthy chose them. That's what select committee means. The minority gets to select their members, and the majority gets to select their members, but the minority wasn't allowed to select their members. So how is it a select committee? It wasn't. But Navarro and Bannon were tried, convicted, and sentenced for not obeying subpoenas issued by a select committee that wasn't a select committee. And every judge along the way knew it. Every prosecutor knew it. Everybody who referred it to the DOJ knew it, and they were still sentenced to prison, each one for 4 months. So all of these people, Hillary Clinton, they're going to have to go because this is a legit select committee. Clinton, Hillary's got to go. Billy's got to go. Merrick Garland's got to go. James Comey, they've all got to go, and I can't wait for them all. William Barr, Gonzalez, Sessions, Mueller, Lynch, and Holder, they're all going to get it ready, Aaron. Plead the fifth. Play it for me.
Is it true you were a crack cocaine dealer for 7 years?
I plead the fifth.
Sir, will you tell us about the cartels you dealt with in your time as a crack cocaine dealer?
No, but I can tell you that I plead the fifth.
Exactly how much money did you earn in your time as a crack cocaine dealer?
There. I said there are so many amendments in the Constitution of the United States of America. I can only choose one. I plead the fifth. Five, one, two, three, four, fifth. Anything you say, fifth. Go ahead, ask me a question.
Did you?
Fifth. I have a secret document that I think you need to say.
Glad to be all, sir. Good afternoon.
I got your sentence reduced to a month, buddy.
Oh!
All right, so we're going to see a lot of that on those dates that are coming up right there. Let's go to the next one. So that's the Epstein hoax. Let's now, the Epstein hoax is because they took reality and then made it a hoax. Let's go to the other hoax, which is the collusion hoax. May's video, January 8, 2017. After receiving the fake intelligence assessment, he requested. Remember now, Aaron, can you side by side that? Because everyone to make sure they see the date on the bottom. January 8th. 2017. Let's go over the dates really quickly again. Because on December 7th, he got an ICA, that's an intelligence community assessment. He got that from the intelligence community, which said Donald J. Trump, there was no collusion between Donald J. Trump and the Russians. There was no evidence at all of the Russians promoting Donald H. J. Trump, wanting Trump to win over Hillary. No, there was no evidence of that whatsoever. There was no evidence that the Russians in any way, shape, or form influenced the elections in any way. That's what the ICA said on December 7th. On December 9th, all of 2017, he came out 2016, correction, in 2016, so a month before this, he said, you know what, I want, on the 9th, he said 2 days later, I want a new ICA, and I wanted to read the following. And he was even put out by Comey, Clapper, and Brennan that there is a new imperative that's been put out. You don't say, I want an assessment, and I want it to say this. That's not what you do. If you realize you go to federal prison if you do that with your company because of stock values, and you go, you know what? Oh, our stock values are down. Hey, Aaron, you know what?
Yeah.
Aaron's like my CEO. Aaron, change that and say that our stock values are going up.
Will do.
Okay, he's going to federal prisons, and so am I.
Yep.
But not Hussein. So Hussein doesn't like what's on the original ICA on December 7th, so he tells the intel community, not the intel community, Comey, Clapper, and Brennan, that I want a new ICA that says the following. And Clapper was stupid enough to put it out on an email saying that the president wants a new ICA under new guidance. How do you have new guidance? The intelligence is what the intelligence is. The Russians made this phone call. The Uzbekistanians made this phone call. The Turkish made this phone call. Israel's doing that. Venezuela's, there's nothing to manipulate about it. You simply report the facts as you find them. That's an ICA. You don't guide the ICA. There is no guidance to the ICA. Again, if you're running any sort of law enforcement task force operation, you simply respond to the information that you have. You don't manipulate the information so that it becomes what you want it to be for some sort of statistical result. You don't do that. You know where you end up there too? Prison. That's what you do. That's called framing people. That's what's happening here also. So this is this corrupt man. He knows, first of all, and I really, really don't like to be redundant, but I like to make sure people get this. Remember back in July of 2016, so basically 6 months before January 8th, he was in the office with Comey, Clapper, Brennan, and Biden and Susan Rice, and they all came together and said, you know what, Hillary Clinton has hired the following. And Hussein Obama knew about this because he had hired the exact same law firm. Perkins Coie, Mark Elias, and it is Mark Elias. So they said Hillary Clinton's campaign, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the DNC, and Hillary Clinton, along with George Soros from I can't remember her last name now, Julianne, her campaign, I think it's like Julianne Smith or something like that. Her campaign official said, hey, here's a great idea. Let's gin up a Trump collusion narrative that will take all of the attention away from Hillary Clinton's deleted emails in her server in the bathroom in Denver, Colorado. Let's do that, which is all criminal violations. Extreme carelessness or whatever it is. So anyway, Julianne, I got it right. Hey, yep. Got that right. Julianne Smith. Yep. I peed the fifth. So anyway.
Fifth.
I five, four, three.
1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth.
So anyway. So that's what Julianne Smith came up with. Soros' guy, remember Leonard, whatever his last name is? So he was like, hey, this is a great idea. We're all on board, right? That Soros communication was actually gotten from Russians, from Russian intel, that they had somehow gotten their emails. That's weird, isn't it? But anyway, probably off of Hillary's server. But anyway, so they all knew right then and there back in July, and it was long before this at all started, genesis of the collusion hoax began long before this. But anyway, they all knew definitively then that this was all made up. They knew the James Comey goes and meets with Donald J. Trump to brief him on the PP tape hoax, knowing, remember, this is after Trump is elected. He knows that was made up by Mark Elias, Fusion GPS. Mark Elias, Perkins Coie, hires Fusion GPS, hires Christopher Steele, hires Igor Danchenko, a Russian, to create a Russian collusion narrative. So you actually have, man, imagine having the audacity to fly on your own private FBI jet to New York City from Washington, D.C., landing, doing all of it takes all day long, spending millions of Joe's dollars, millions of Aaron's dollars, millions of my dollars, millions of your dollars for James Comey to actually fly up to brief Donald J. Trump at Trump Tower in November of 2016, telling him about the pee-pee hoax, knowing that Mark Elias made it up. He knew it, though. He absolutely knew it. And again, this isn't them being wrong about something. This is them creating a lie and then building a narrative and an investigation, a $40 million, 40 FBI agent investigation around a lie they knew was a lie. It's not like, oh, whoops, that's what they're trying to pull now. We found out later that it wasn't really true. No, they were there at the genesis of it. They discussed the genesis of it. They said that Hillary Clinton made it up. In their little meeting, it's all on their own handwritten notes. And then imagine, speaking of audacity, whether it's Nicole Wallace, whether it's Joe Scarborough, whether it's Jake Tapper, whoever on the CNN, MSNBC, whatever it is, or any pundit on the left, any Twitter account, anything, coming out and saying this has all been debunked. There's never been investigated. It's just like saying, the claims of a fraudulent election in 2020 have all been debunked. They've lost every court case. None of that is true. Either it was 22 out of 30 that Trump won when a court would hear the case about the election in 2020. The rest of them were all dismissed for lack of standing. So the court never heard the case for it to be dismissed to begin with, or to be found guilty or innocent to begin with. It was dismissed via lack of standing. So here is Obama knowing that he created a false ICA. Knowing that get the depths of this. He knew what the original ICA was correct. Created a lying ICA to support the lie that he knew was founded back in July of 16. Imagine being this type of person and then being able to conduct an interview like this. All right, finally, play for me.
Foreign countries can have an impact on the political debate in the United States in ways that might not have been true 10, 20 30 years ago.
Bottom line, this time, Vladimir Putin got what he wanted.
Well, look, I think that what is true is that the Russians intended to meddle, and they meddled. I'll be honest with you, George, one of the things that I am concerned about is the degree to which we've seen a lot of commentary lately where there are Republicans or pundits or cable commentators who seem to have more confidence in Vladimir Putin than fellow Americans because those fellow Americans are Democrats. That cannot be.
Does that include the president-elect?
What I will say is that, and I said this right after the election, we have to remind ourselves we're on the same team. Vladimir Putin's not on our team. If we get to a point where people in this country feel more affinity with a leader who is an adversary and views the United States and our way of life as a threat to him, then we're going to have bigger problems than just cyber hacking.
Let's just go to the narrative at the very end of that. Anybody watching the show ever felt the threat from the Russians? I'm just curious. I mean, I was raised during the Cold War, in the 70s and 80s. And back then, where you had the nuclear tensions going on, that all has ended long before I was even a sheriff's deputy. I began that in 1992. I mean, after the wall came down, folks, has anybody felt any threat by Russia? You have Hussein saying that Americans feel threatened by Russia, that Russia opposes our way of life. If anything, they actually imitate our way of life. And imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. But I'm just saying that, was anybody ever felt any threats from Russia? At all, ever? The only threats that we ever really feel are those brought upon us by the Democratic Party. Horrendous crime rates and illegal immigration, hyperinflation and economic collapse and nuclear war. That's brought on, and not anything to do with Russia. It has to do with the ridiculous handling of the Ukraine-Russia conflict, which has nothing to do with us, except it was instigated by us. It's just absolutely ridiculous, the entire narrative. But to go in there, and Obama acting really official in a real dignitarian sort of way. I'm a dignitary. I'm above all this. He created the entire lie. Created an investigation around the lie and created a false ICA around the lie and then promulgated both lies to everybody. I mean, that's who these people are. It's not a matter, again, of, you know what, whoops, we found out it was a lie. They created the lie. There's nothing to find out about. They actually created it. Here's James Comey in 2018, 2 years after he found out it was a complete lie. And that the PP hoax was made up. Here he is on Stephen Colbert, now canceled. May's video, 2018, James Comey. Play it for me.
You went in January of 2017 to tell President Trump about the Steele dossier. How did you tell him that there was a, and I want to put this delicately, pee-pee tape? How did you tell him about that rumor?
I spoke about information unverified, that related to an allegation that he was with prostitutes in a hotel in Moscow and that the Russians had videotaped it. I didn't go into the rest of it. I thought that was notice enough.
Uh-huh. And so you didn't mention the salacious detail of the two prostitutes getting up on the bed that the Obamas had stayed in because it was the presidential suite engaging in some water play. You didn't mention that at all.
I thought I'd served enough notice without going to that part.
Okay, and what did he say when you told him about this?
He denied it. He interrupted me and denied it in pretty strong terms and asked, I assumed rhetorically, whether he looked like a guy who needed the services of hookers. And then.
Okay. All right, let's keep on going. Just so you know, the people out there know, I actually went to that room. I stayed at the Ritz-Carlton, Moscow. I went to that room. We rented that room, which is really all you need to do. Now, you're an investigator. Did anyone from your office ever go to that hotel and look at that room?
Not while I was director.
Okay. I don't know anyone from the press who went, you're an investigator. Would you like to ask me anything about that room? Ask me anything about that room.
Is it big enough for a germaphobe to be at a safe distance from the activity?
The bedroom is very long. It's very long. You could definitely be out of what we call at SeaWorld the splash zone. Okay? All right?
See, you have Comey there acting. He's got, he acts like he's Mr. Integrity, Mr. Virtue. Now, you need, like, right there, going back to front, where you have Colbert ask him, would you like to ask me anything about this room? Comey knows that this never occurred, but yet talks as if it did. Is there room for a germaphobe to be able to observe the activities? He knows that it was totally made up by who? Igor Danchenko, hired by Christopher Steele, hired by Fusion GPS, hired by Mark Elias and Perkins Coie, hired by the DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and Hillary Rodham Clinton. He knows it's made up. He knows it never happens. And he acts like, again, it's just like the COVID hoax, where you have Fauci the entire time espousing a threat that he knows doesn't exist. And it's exactly what Comey is doing. It's the same thing every time. Everything that people believe is real is not real. None of it is real. Nothing. You have the Bible and then nothing else. Let God be true and every man a liar. Romans 3:4. Because here you have a man. Look how he's looking all official. He's dignitary. He's full of virtue. James Comey and virtuousness. He's just above the fray. The man who wrote 8647 in the stand and then lied about that. He's lying the entire time. And yeah, I mean, I can't pull it off. Aaron and I talk about this all the time. At the different times that we have walked away from God, we walk away.
Yeah.
We're out. Like I'm a reprobate, wretched, horrible sinner. All right. Comey is the worst of the worst. The worst of the worst. He's wicked. All right. Wicked is he pretends to be something that he is not to harm other human beings. He sits there and he writes in the sand via shells, 8647, then claims somebody else did it. He knows the entire time he's running this event. Think about how long this investigation went on. Until he got fired, it was a couple years. But the entire time, the entire collusion hoax narrative has been perpetrated on the Americans, on American society. He knows the entire time it was a lie. The entire Mueller investigation he knew was predicated on a lie. He knows it. He knows that the entire time he just sleeps like a baby at night. I mean, $42 million spent on an investigation into an incident that never occurred, and he knew it never occurred, yet insist upon a special prosecutor being impaneled. I mean, can you imagine living a life like this man, going on a show, acting all dignitarian, acting all virtuous, acting like he's full of integrity and above the fray, and knowing the entire time he's lying, knowing that he framed General Flynn, knowing it, because he accused General Flynn. They unmasked him and they on his phone calls with his Russian counterpart, and then lied about him, knowing the entire. I mean, General Flynn was going to prison for 9 years. 9 years until Sidney Powell got involved. 9 years. And where was James Comey? He knew that was all a lie. He knew that the FBI changed the 302s. He knew it. These are the people that we're dealing with. I could spend all night on corruption in the DOJ, corruption in the court system, and corrupt cops because it drives me crazy. All right, let's go. Change the subject. Well, not change the subject. Next up on the collusion hoax, townhall.com video breaking news. This is from yesterday. Pam Bondi signed an order directing a grand jury to invest alleged conspiracy in the Russian collusion hoax. Play for me.
Fox News can confirm that Attorney General Pam Bondi today signed an order directing an unnamed U.S. federal prosecutor to take evidence to a grand jury relating to an alleged conspiracy to tie then 2016 candidate Donald Trump to the country of Russia. Now, Fox News reviewed the one-page order just hours ago signed by the Attorney General. A source familiar with the probe confirms this as well. While a DOJ spokesperson declined to comment on this report of an investigation, Fox is told Attorney General Bondi is taking the referrals from Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, quote, very seriously. The spokesperson says that Bondi believes there is, quote, clear cause for deep concern, end quote, and a need for the next steps. Now, this move, Will, comes just a couple of weeks after the Director of National Intelligence, you see her right there, Tulsi Gabbard, sent a criminal referral to the Justice Department regarding what she says proves there was a conspiracy to undermine Trump's candidacy and later his first term in office. Now, to be clear today, there are no charges that have been filed, no indictments. This is incredibly early in the process. What we have here is taking evidence the Justice Department believes it has to a grand jury to secure an eventual indictment or indictments. We don't know exactly where the grand jury will meet. We don't know who will go before the grand jury. And that's by design, because grand juries determine if there's enough evidence to indict, and grand juries are secretive in the American legal system, so it's normal not to know all of the answers. Again, the DOJ declining on any comment regarding this investigation. But, Will, big news, this was signed by the Attorney General Pam Bondi today to take this evidence of an alleged conspiracy to a grand jury with the hope to get an indictment or multiple indictments.
Okay, now we all, me included, believe me. Aaron, give me a believe me.
Believe me.
All right. So, I mean, just so you know, we all have complained like nothing ever gets done. Okay. This has not been done. Can we all agree? Okay. There's been no indictments. No. I mean, again, there hasn't been an indictment yet. but she's seeking an indictment on the people, Comey, Clapper, Brennan, and everybody else involved in this collusion hoax. This is a big deal. Can we all listen? Can we all say that this hasn't been done before? Because it hasn't. We've had all of the DOJ referrals. We've had Rand Paul refer Fauci to the DOJ. What happens? Nothing. We've had Merrick Garland refer to his own DOJ. Nothing. Nothing ever happens because Democrats are running the DOJ. That's referring the DOJ to then refer that person for an indictment. None of it ever happens because you have Merrick Garland running the DOJ. And many other, whether it's Sessions running the DOJ, Bill Barr running the DOJ, whatever it may be, and all these people tied in together in this incestuous Washington establishment. But anyway, we can let's rejoice when there's a win. You know, what I'm trying to change in my life right now, I won't go into a sermon on anybody, but not yet anyway, but what I'm trying to do is in my life is, you know what, say, this is a good thing. Instead of, you know what, having that half glass half empty mentality. This is a big deal. I mean, again, Pam Bondi signed an order directing a grand jury investigation on alleged conspiracy in the Russian collusion hoax. And where they said an unnamed U.S. attorney. The reason why it's unnamed is going to be in the state of Florida. It's going to be in the state of Florida because there's no point in bringing it to a D.C. trial. And now that bringing it to the D.C. court for a D.C. jury. Again, blue judge, blue jury, blue appellate court, blue grand jury, everything else. It's absolutely pointless. And again, if you ever say that, like with Navarro's prosecution and conviction, Trump's various prosecutions and convictions, both civil and criminal, blue judges, blue juries, blue grand juries, blue appellate courts, you have no chance of winning at all. And when we bring that up, we're attacking our institutions. We're attacking democracy. We're attacking democratic institutions. When a judge says it, you have to believe it. But now the reverse is that now we're doing, it's like Tommy Lahren said in the pregame, we have learned from Democrats. We are now going to play just the way you play, which we are going in for the figurative kill. There is no more tiddlywinks going on here in badminton. We're going in for the kill, figuratively. So now they're seeking this indictment in the state of Florida where you will get a fair judge and jury. And Democrats suddenly don't like that. Doesn't that make them an attacker of our institutions and a threat to democracy? Oh, no, because Democrats are doing it. Democrats, as long as their critique is of Republicans, that's never a threat to democracy. But when we critique Democrats, it's a threat to democracy. If we dare say that Ruby Freeman and her fat daughter, Shea Moss, needs to mix in a lot of salad, put the exact same ballots in the voting machines over and over again, we're attacking the institutions of democracy. And we're seditious conspiracists and insurrectionists, right? But if we want to simply move the trial into a fair state, into a fair jurisdiction, then they're allowed to attack us, and that's not seditious conspiracy or insurrectionist or an attack on our democracy. But that's exactly what's happening. This is big news. Now, whether the indictments take place or not, I don't know. It'll depend on the strength of the person that's presenting the case, because you can indict a ham sandwich. That's what everybody always says. You can indict a ham sandwich because there is no defense. Everybody knows how an indictment works. They impanel what's called a grand jury for an indictment. And it simply is, can we proceed with this prosecution? That's all that it is. So it's basically permission from a jury to proceed with the prosecution. So there is no defense there. So they can bring all these people up for an indictment. Whoever it may be, Fauci someday, whatever. But going back to the collusion of Comey, Clapper, Brennan, even Obama, Biden, whatever. A million people think of Biden, that Obama is exempt, but he's not because he's continued on the conspiracy after being in office. So, and again, there's no statute of limitations because they've all continued the conspiracy. The conspiracy doesn't end until they all say, so they make themselves, they put the clock of the statute of limitations on their own case once they acknowledge that it was, in fact, a false conspiracy, that it was a false accusation and it was a conspiracy. Then now you have a 5-year statute of limitations. None of them have ever stopped, so the statute of limitations hasn't even begun yet for any of them, including Barack Hussein Obama. And what you do with Obama is simply bring him in front because he has presidential immunity. He cannot plead the fifth, so he has to answer the questions. You catch him in a perjury trap, and then you charge him with felonious perjury. All right, let's go to the border. Nick Sorter video. Just in, it's official. The State Department will begin requiring $15,000 bond for visa applicants because a lot of our immigration problems are people overstaying their visas. Well, this only applies to a few countries, but the State Department will begin under Marco Rubio will begin requiring $15,000 bond for visa applicants from countries with high overstay rates. Should have been done a long time ago. Visa overstays are a huge vector of illegal immigration. This is a Nick Sorter video, by the way, and a Nick Sorter article. 560,000 visa overstays in 2023 alone. So now you're going to get charged 15 grand for doing so. Play for me.
Well, Sandra, the State Department is prepping to launch a program that would require some travelers from all around the world to pay up to $15,000 just to enter the U.S. The policy is aimed at cracking down on countries with high visa overstay rates. Joining me now to talk about this is Jonathan Fahey. He's former acting ICE director and former DHS deputy assistant secretary. Jonathan, as always, great to see you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So this is essentially a bond program. What they're talking about doing is if somebody comes into the U.S. on a visa, they put down up to $15,000. And then if they leave the country when they're supposed to, according to that visa, they get the money back. What do you think about this idea?
This is a great program for a couple of reasons. First of all, about 40 to 50% of the illegal aliens in this country are people that overstayed their visas. And there are certain countries that have very high visa overstay rates. So this program is to address that, those particular countries. The other part of it is also a national security and a public safety issue because certain countries don't do a very good job vetting people for visas or doing other things to cooperate with us on national security and border security. So this will encourage their compliance. It will also discourage people from trying to remain in the country, gaming the system like many of them were doing during the Biden administration. Just once they came in on a visa, basically essentially became de facto citizens because the Biden administration had no interest in deporting virtually anybody. So all of these are good reasons to do this. And remember, this doesn't apply to a lot of countries. 41 countries are what's in called the visa waiver program, which means you just simply have to have a passport. So if you're one of those countries, it doesn't affect you whatsoever.
This is so, I mean, again, huge wins by the Trump administration. If I get to it tonight, I got a Palantir section, which will be negative on Trump. But you have to acknowledge the huge wins. These are huge. Nobody ever does these things. We're $37 trillion in debt, and nobody ever tries to make a buck for the United States, ever. Nobody's fiscally responsible. They put us $37 trillion in debt while every single one of these politicians out of the 535 on Capitol Hill are all enriching themselves with notable exceptions. So this is just great news. $15,000. You want to overstay your visa? No problem. 15 grand. We're coming for you. Great job, Trump administration. All right, let's go to the next one. You're staying on the border for a couple minutes. Libs of TikTok video. More Colorado officers. This is unbelievable. Colorado officers are facing disciplinary action for the heinous crime of false arrests, abusing prisoners, sharing information about illegals with ICE. Play for me.
Well, tonight we have the latest updates regarding the Utah student who was detained by ICE in Mesa County last month. Reporter Robbie Patlett joins us live in studio tonight with the latest details. Robbie?
Yeah, thank you, Hannah. So 19-year-old Caroline Goncalves was pulled over by a sheriff's deputy on June 5th. Her information was shared with immigration officials in a group chat. Now, over the last few months, an internal investigation was conducted into the deputy who performed the traffic stop and other officers in said chat. The details of that investigation were released today.
Your actions have discredited the Mexican Sheriff's Office by acting outside of our standard operating practices and culture.
That was a recording from Deputy Alexander Zwink's disciplinary determination from July 25th. Deputy Zwink pulled over Caroline Goncalves after she drove too close to a semi on June 5th. During the stop, he collected her documentation and sent information to other law enforcement officials.
I took a photo of her driver's license, or what I thought was her driver's license. Sent that out in a Signal chat group.
The group chat was formed on an app called Signal. which allows people to send encrypted messages. Now, investigators found that members of Colorado State Patrol, Homeland Security, and other officers from drug interdiction teams were all part of this same group. However, Zwink said that no ICE agents were involved.
To your knowledge, is ICE part of that chat group?
No, we're not.
Okay.
The investigation is now over. Deputy Zwink and three other sheriff staff are on leave. Mesa County Sheriff Todd Rowell said in a statement released today, the sheriff's office should not have been involved in Goncalves' detention. Prior to this disciplinary action, Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser filed a lawsuit against Deputy Zwink.
Colorado law expressly prohibits both state agencies and political subdivision employees, that includes local agencies like the Mesa County Sheriff's Office, from disclosing personally identifiable information that is shared for the purpose of investigating for participating in, cooperating with, or assisting federal immigration enforcement.
Sheriff Rowell writes, the lawsuit filed by the Attorney General's office sends a demoralizing message to law enforcement that the law may be wielded selectively for political effect. The Attorney General's office sent our newsroom a statement saying he was presented with facts that showed blatant violations of state law. Goncalves was detained in an ICE facility in Aurora for nearly 2 weeks before her release on June 20th. She is now safely back home. Now, Colorado State Patrol also released a statement regarding this investigation. Chief Matthew Picard said that the patrol reevaluated its use of the Signal app and that they no longer share information on it. He also writes that we respect Mesa County Sheriff Rowell's correctivist actions, but believe his judgments regarding the patrol are misinformed and premature. For the 10, I'm Robbie Patla.
So again, let's go back to front. So you have Gonzalez, who right here, you had Deputy Swick, simply send the information about this illegal to a Signal chat, sharing it with other law enforcement agencies about what these illegals, because they're cops and they should be dealing with illegals, simply sharing the information about this person didn't enhance their sentence, didn't lie about them, didn't frame them like Jack Smith does. He didn't do any of those things. Simply shared the information with other law enforcement entities in the Signal chat. Now, it says here that Gonzalez was detained for 2 weeks and is now safely home. Her home is a foreign country. But now she's safely home in the country she illegally migrated to. And Deputy Swick, where's he at? He was placed on 3 weeks of unpaid administrative leave, suspended for 3 weeks. For putting information about an illegal, as a cop, on a chat with other cops. That's the essence of law enforcement. Then you have the typical, I should have had Aaron make the freeze frame of it, but I just didn't want to overdo it. Far be it from me to be hyperbolic. But you have Phil Weisner. Hi, my name is Phil Weisner. He's an effeminate man, as usual. Everybody governing us outside of the Trump administration is an effeminate man. I'm so sick and tired of these Andrew Weissman. He's an Andrew Weissman there. Thank you, Aaron. I knew Aaron was going to do it. This is an Andrew Weissman lookalike. They're all effeminate men. Hi, my name is Phil Weisner. I'm the Colorado Attorney General, and I'm going to pursue criminal charges against Deputy Swick for sharing information about illegal aliens with other cops. Colorado state statutes say that we're just not allowed. The cops aren't allowed to do that. I'm so sick of these effeminate men governing and lording over us, taking revenge on all of us for being on the bad end of a bully their entire life. You know, those were the kids that wanted to be like, you know, the crossing guards so they could wield authority over other students.
Hall monitor.
Yeah, Paul. Yeah, like, halt in the name of the law in the middle with their little orange sash in the hallway. Halt in the name of the school. You know, whatever. Where's your hall pass? Shut up, weasel. I'm going to jam you back in the locker where you belong. And now it's taking vengeance on us for the rest of his life. Look at this little weasel. This guy's never jogged 10 yards in his life. He's never done one rep on a bench press his entire life. And he's going to take vengeance on everyone. Go, Aaron.
You remember when, like, attorney generals would, like, defend citizens of their state? Yeah, and cops.
Yeah.
You remember those days?
Yeah. Normally, attorney general is the chief law enforcement officer. So his cohort is Swink, who he wanted to go after criminally, or not necessarily criminally, but civilly at least. Swink, one of the cops, placed on 3 weeks of suspension. Deputy Olson was placed on 2 weeks of unpaid, that's 2 weeks suspension. Sergeant Joe LeMoyne was suspended without pay for 2 days. Lieutenant David Holdren received a letter of reprimand. Captain Curtis Brammer was provided with documented counseling. I know all these terms. This should never, ever happen. And it's happened. Now, for my own personal amusement tonight, I have to show you this video, even though it has nothing to do with our borders, it has to do with UK borders, because they're having a little problem with machetes in the UK. Now, but Aaron and Joe, don't worry, they're virtuous.
Yes.
They're leading the way in compassion by opening up their borders to low IQ incestuous Pakistanis. That's what they're doing. And Muslims, they're opening up the door, but don't worry, they don't have guns, but they have machetes. Okay, and just remember that you ever want to compare crime rates between blunt objects and guns, it doesn't compare. And I'm not including knives yet. I purposely said blunt objects. Because blunt objects kill way more Americans than guns ever have and ever will, and so do knives. So here, lives a TikTok video. And this is a little old. Some of you may have already seen it, but I've had it for like a week sitting here. I just have to show it. Lives a TikTok video following a new law banning machetes. Correction, it's not the UK, it's Australia. Victoria was basically, I got the next one is Sadiq Khan, London. This is Victoria, Australia. I mean, you could not. Victoria, Australia is the absolute capital of, remember Dan Andrews? The absolute capital of COVID totalitarian vax mandates, mask mandates, lockdowns forever, and COVID camps. Victoria, Australia is rolling out a machete disposal bin. I honestly thought, because Aaron has taught me how to roll through social media without humiliating myself again. Because I put out stuff that's absolutely fake. I'm not news stuff that was fake ever. I don't think I ever missed it on the news stuff. But I missed stuff like on the animal stuff where I thought like the mountain lion showed up at the people's house and they adopted it. And that never was true. I mean, I played it over and over again. Owls. It's all if you actually pay attention to it like I should have. I watched the whole thing, but I didn't catch it. It's a different animal in every frame, so they just piece it together, and they have that and the eagle thing that I showed at the church. 1,000 people at the church saw me put on a video where an eagle breaks off his beak and grows a new one. What an idiot I am. So I learned my lesson. I'm like, is this fake? I'm like, this has to be fake. So Aaron was like, always go down in the comments, read the comments, because somebody will reveal that this is an AI fake, okay? What do you call it? The political parody accounts? Is that right?
Yeah,
parody
account. Parody,
so
yeah.
I'm like, it has to be. There's no said. There cannot be a machete disposal bin. But yes, there is. Play for me.
On the 1st of September, when the ban on machetes takes place, we are rolling out through Victoria Police at 24/7 police stations the safe disposal bins. These will be at locations right across the state. They'll be locations where people can come and lawfully dispose of any machete that they may already have at one of these bins safely and securely. And we've done this because we want to get these knives off the streets, because these knives destroy lives.
Yeah, I would say machete would destroy a life, all because you're importing inbred, low IQ Muslims. It's the way that it is. And I'd be like, oh, you're a racist. First of all, Muslim's not a race, Nimrod. Muslim's not a race. It's a religion. And they do inbreed. They have a major problem with inbreeding inside of the UK. Now, that's Australia. But inside of the UK, they're at 30% of their inbred problems come from 6% of the population. And that population is Pakistani. And by the way, they manipulate those stats by only including as Pakistani first-generation Pakistanis, not second- or third-generation Pakistanis, which they then call British citizens. So they call them... Well, they're all considered British citizens, but they call them basically heritage British citizens. But they're not. So really, all of the inbred problems are coming from the Pakistanis. You know, I mean, a myriad of problems don't have time to get into. And they manipulate the stats by basically blaming heritage UK citizens for about two-thirds of the problem. So it's really 90% of the problems come from the Pakistanis, but they only count first generation people who just moved in like 10 minutes ago. Not the people that have been there for 5 or 6 years that are still doing what? Inbreeding. It's absolute proven fact. There's no arguing. It's indisputable. It's irrefutable. It's absolute fact. Paul A. Cipolla video. This is for my own personal amusement on the show tonight. London Mayor Sadiq Khan, another galactic moron, is asked to his face about knife crime going up 60%. You realize you lose, and I know I say this all the time, in America, if you're a mayor of a reasonable city, and again, Philadelphia doesn't count, Denver doesn't count, LA doesn't count, because they are just going to impulsively re-elect Democrats over and over and over again to their own demise, as we see in San Francisco. But if it's actually a city that has a bunch of people with regular cognitive processes going on in their mind, if it's the crime rate went up 10%, you get rid of that idiot mayor. This knife crime. Knife crime alone in London's gone up 60%. Imagine that, 60%. Knife crime going up 60% in the past 2 years and about 81,000 cell phones being stolen. And people still espouse the virtue of mass importation of Muslims. So here he is being questioned on the street. Play for me.
Mr. Khan, I'm a Westminster City Councillor. I just wanted to ask you on your thoughts on knife crime going up by 60% in the past 2 years. No, this is the Met thing. Knife crime, 60% up, and you don't care. Nothing to say? Nothing to say? Nothing to say about knife crime going up? 81,000 phones stolen? Nothing, you don't care?
If you want to write in, they say.
Great. Mr. Khan, will you accept the debate for Nigel? He's being booed as we go inside. So I asked him, he wouldn't speak to me about a 60% increase in knife crime in our city in 2 years. 81,000 phones stolen. He wouldn't talk to me. He looked down on me. He wouldn't even bother answering. So I asked him, will he accept the challenge to debate Nigel on London's abysmal crime rate? Let's see.
That's funny, Flash River. Hey, I forgot my machete at home. Thank Allah for providing me a storage box to break into. That's great. So here's this observation on this. You already heard the stats. I don't need to get into the stats again. Look at all the people around this guy. This is the mayor of a city. Look at all the people that won't let him. Look at all these people around him. You and I aren't allowed to have guns. And I know we still are in the United States. But they're only, the same people that are surrounding him, same party. He, of course, is part of the Labour Party. So he's a leftist. He's the Labour Party is the UK version of the Democratic Party. Surrounded by 30 or 40 people when you and I aren't allowed to have guns. You and I aren't allowed to have walls, but he's surrounded by walls and guns 24/7. The elite of the elite, far above us, looking down upon us, is Sadiq Khan, the Islamic mayor of London. There he is. And now he's overseeing a 60% increase in knife crime in his own country. And he can't be bothered with answering a question. Nobody's allowed near this untouchable aristocracy, this bourgeois elitist. Nobody's allowed near this guy. Yeah, I'm so fed up with these people. And it's exactly the same here. Well, you'll see these. Aaron and I have actually, I'm more of a loser than Aaron is, but we're both losers. So we actually like counted cars in their motorcades. Yeah. The people espousing that CO2 is going to kill you. That, you know, Al Gore, Miami's already supposed to be gone, but it's not. And they live on the islands that they predict and they prophesy are going to be gone, but then they buy mass amount of real estate on them, like Oprah Winfrey and Hussein Obama and Martha's Vineyard. But anyway, they have motorcades. Listen, I'm going to tell you, just personal experience. And some of you have watched the podcast when heard me tell you this. I was involved, and I still have the stain upon me, in Michelle Obama's motorcade. Because she graced Sarasota County with her presence at one point. And I mean, my only part was I blocked an intersection so her ridiculously long motorcade could go through. But Aaron and I have counted like 60, 70, 100 cars, whether it's Justin Trudeau, whether it's Michelle Obama or Hussein Obama. I mean, 60, 70 cars when you're worried about CO2 killing everybody? CO2 warming the earth, cooling the earth, climate changing the earth, whatever fits your narrative in the moment. But anyway, so these people are such disgusting, repulsive, repugnant hypocrites. And they just think they're above everybody. Absolutely disgusting. I mean, really are repulsive human beings. Let's go to the next one. Let's go on to Palantir for a couple minutes. AF post tweet. This is the stuff that you and I need to watch out for, folks. The world is not going to end. I mean, you can, trying to figure out what everything means in the book of Revelation is difficult. Could it, some of it mean nuclear war? Possibly. But the world is going to end that way. And I believe that if, as you read the, whether it's the book of Revelation, whether it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe that we will be able, that the mark of the beast will come out. We will see it prior to the rapture. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Revelation 3:10. So we will miss the absolute worst of it. But if you look at the book of Revelation 13 and 14 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe we will see the onset, the rollout of the mark of the beast, where you can't buy, sell, trade, or travel without a QR-coded quantum dot tattoo on your right hand or on your forehead. AF post, we need to watch out for this because now, as you saw in the pregame, and I like J.D. Vance, and I'm growing to like Marco Rubio if he's for real. I have a feeling that the moment that things change, Rubio will then transition back to old Marco. But anyway, J.D. Vance is best friends with this guy right here. This is the guy that's actually behind the Palantir chief. He's actually behind J.D. Vance's entire political career. We need to understand that. Financed it and everything else. Does that mean that J.D. Vance is going to do what he says? I'm not going to say that. I hope not. You know me. Far be it for me to be negative. But I'm just saying, you just don't know. But we have to watch this stuff. And again, for those of you who watch this podcast, you know the verses that I'm going to just speak to you right now. Revelation chapter 13, 16, and 17. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. That's Revelation 16, 17, 18. I mean, Revelation 13, verses 16, 17, and 18. We have to watch out for this because then you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 because you and I are to be the great restraining of all of this. Not like, oh, you know, it's awfully convenient to get, you know, an implant and you just swipe it under a machine and you never have to carry cash. And it's got your passport in it. It's got your credit cards, your medical information. You never have to go and call one doctor's office to transfer your medical information to another doc. You don't have to do any of those things ever. It's so, what's the word? Convenient. And don't worry, Aaron, it's voluntary.
Oh.
Until no system will accept you, except if you're part of the digital infrastructure.
Of course.
That's the problem. It, once it gets like that, I mean, how many of you still write checks anymore? I mean, again, it gets to the place where nobody will accept it. In the country of Australia, they're basically making themselves cashless and everybody has to come under a biometric digital ID. But don't worry, Aaron. Don't worry, Joe. Don't worry, my wonderful audience. It's all voluntary until it's required by every single business, where you can't even walk into a grocery store without scanning your ID. What if you don't want one on your forehead or on your right hand? And by the way, we'll start with this. But that's not going to be good. So when people, I've made fun of this before, but people came, not people, one person asked me, is the vaccine the mark of the beast? I'm like, no. Is it on your right hand or on your forehead? Is it a mark on your right hand or on your forehead? So no, it's not. It's a bad thing, but it's not the mark of the beast. Under President Trump, Palantir is involving is evolving into the de facto operating system of the U.S. government. Palantir has secured, $900 million in federal contracts under the Trump administration. And who is behind J.D. Vance's career? Palantir. All right. Under the Trump administration, with annual earnings between $228 million. Aaron, can you get his name for me, the Palantir guy? I thought I had it in this article, but I don't know if I've got it. I thought Alex Karp, you're the man. So Alex Karp is very close with J.D. Vance. He's pretty much responsible for J.D. Vance's career. This guy is a devout atheist and has espoused some pretty wacko, weird stuff. Aaron, if you think of it, send me messages, because you know more about this stuff than I do. But anyway, with annual earnings between $228 million and $542 million from 2020 to 2024. Article on this from AF Post. Palantir secured, you already got that part. Palantir secured $900 million federal contracts under the Trump administration with annual earnings, blah, 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 as you already read. Mostly from, this was a long post. This was continue on with the post. This is the entire article from AF Post. Mostly from the Department of Defense. In early 2025, it added $113 million in new contracts, driving $370 million year-over-year increase in revenue. Now, as Alex Jones has espoused correctly, this is really kind of pittance when it comes to the federal government. But the problem is what Palantir is developing is an integrated digital infrastructure that you have to qualify to get into. Okay, the problem is if everything is digitized and everything is controlled, whether it's medical records, passports, credit, banking, everything is digitized, then again, leverage you into a one world commerce system with a single access point controlled by people like Alex Karp, that's not, or Billy Gates, that's not good. Because this is an entire digitized system, then you have to have their card to swipe into it. So you have to qualify to get that card. Who's going to determine those qualifications? But you can't, and you're like, well, that's no problem. I'll just own gold. Gold's gone at that point. Okay, I'll have cash. Cash is gone at that point. Oh, you know what? I'll just drive up to the mountains into my mountain home and hold up with my food storage. You got to pay your property taxes every year on that. That you can only pay through this digitized system that you've chosen not to participate in. So they repossess your home. They forfeiture your home. So, I mean, foreclose on your home. See what I'm saying? And you need to understand causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. The company is constructing a centralized mega API. I don't know what API stands for. That will unify data access across all departments, doing it in the government first. And then what happens is then private businesses who have military contracts or government or contracts then also have to be part of this system to qualify to do business with the government. Aaron, is this all clear? Am I making this all clear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Effectively becoming the read center of all IRS systems. So in order to pay your taxes, you may have to have an access card. Legacy contractors like Accenture, Deloitte, and Booz Allen have lost $5.1 billion in consulting contracts with the federal government, while Palantir has grown markedly. Palantir software programs like Gotham and Foundry are being used to consolidate Americans' data from all federal departments into one accessible search platform. See, if they're trying, leverage us into a one-world commerce system with a singular access point to all commerce, groceries, medical, entertainment, travel, and it's in order for you to get those things, you have to have access to a singular system. Then that access is very easily controlled and you have to qualify. You know, Joe bought a Smith & Wesson, disqualified. Smith & Wesson will just go out of business because they will not be allowed to bank. Saw Trump debanked. Trump was talking about being debanked recently by JP Morgan. Palantir software programs, Gotham and Foundry, are being used to consolidate Americans' data from all federal departments into accessible search platform per an executive order signed by Donald Trump in March to eliminate information silos. The expansion is being framed as a bid to remove government waste and improve efficiency with its reach across agencies. Doge is collaborating closely with Palantir to develop a centralized platform for accessing Americans' data. Now, again, that's pretty much minor spending so far, but here's the problem. From David Nicholas, Palantir reported its first $1 billion quarter. 48% year-on-year revenue growth, 48%. From $11 in May of 23 to $170. That there, May of 2023, their shares, boy, I wish I would have bought Palantir shares. I'll be honest with you. In May of 2023, they were $11. Now they're $170. So just so everybody knows, we need to be watching all of these systems. Go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, I was just going to say, the API part that you were talking about is literally like a piece of software that Palantir created that gets installed on government systems, which they still have control over. So if it's Palantir still has control over. So you worry like, oh no, the government's gonna like create this database and all that. Okay, well now Palantir has full control over that same database, right. So they can do whatever they want with it.
Yeah, you see like Skynet, the sort of Skynet Terminator stuff. But anyway, but the bottom line is the Bible. The Bible is what everybody needs to know is going to happen. You and I can restrain it. You and I can stop it by bringing to light these systems that leverage us into a one world commerce system. Right now, this is dealing with a lot with government, but it's dealing with Americans' info. And Palantir is also getting involved in medical record transfers. Okay, you cannot do this. It's better to be inconvenienced because if you're in a one world commerce system where it is a single qualification, got a single payer system, then they can keep you out of it. And if it's all digitized, then somebody has their hand on the spigot of all of your finances and can turn it off. And somebody has their hand on the spigot of access to your finances and access to the commerce system. That's why you can cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, that no one may buy or sell like someone who has the mark. So they can't buy or sell unless they are compliant. You have to qualify for the mark. What's the qualifications? We'll see. We'll see. But that's what you and I are to be resisting through. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You and I need to be praying against this stuff, standing against it, refusing to cooperate. All right, love you. That's good. 10:21. Hey, we got rants tonight. Woo! We were 0.0 last night. Who gave late last night? Was it Nate Dad? Somebody gave late last night. Thank you, whoever that was. Can't remember. We love you guys. Appreciate you. But Rumble rants tonight. Nate Dad won $50. Flash River, $25. Christopher Arnott, $20. Robin Roney, $5. Now I can pay Joe. Thank you guys. Actually, pay Joe. We don't ask to fire Joe. We're going to fire Joe. If we didn't get it, we had zero Rumble rants tonight. Joe was fired and Aaron was on the cusp of being fired.
Yep. Yep.
We had no Rumble rants. And if Aaron gets fired, then I can't do the podcast because I don't know how to even turn the microphone on. I don't know how to turn the lights on. I know how to turn these lights on, but the lights in front of me, I have no idea. I don't know how to turn the monitor in front of me on. I have no idea. I don't know how to turn church on. I don't know how to turn church alarm off or on or even enter the building. I need Aaron. But anyway, love you guys. I really do appreciate each and every one of you. Stick around for the post game back here tomorrow night, 9:00 as always. Love you guys. God bless you.